Scripture reading for this evening take place in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Your lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and do not obtain. You fight in war and yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Good evening. It is a pleasure to see everybody tonight. I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad to be here. It puts me in a good mood. I've been put in a great mood today by being here, and so I really do appreciate all of you being able to come here and spend time with you as I have once in a while for the last few months. Has been a blessing to me, and I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to be here with you. And tonight I wanted us to think about prayer for a little while. That's going to be our study tonight, something that, of course, is such a fundamental aspect of our spiritual lives. It's just so foundational to our relationship with God. And so I believe it's always good to occasionally take some time to reflect on it and to think about it, what it means to us. And that's going to be what we study tonight, thinking about ways we can appreciate what prayer is, and then some thoughts about how God has instructed us in doing it. To kind of be like an encouragement for you, hopefully, and something that can hopefully bring us closer to God as well. Prayer is something that we really need to appreciate. And sometimes I'm not good at taking my own advice. Hopefully you're not like that. But sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself of how much of an effect prayer has, which, you know, when you pray, when you really take the time to pray, it's almost impossible not to come away feeling better, to feel encouraged, to feel inspired, to feel peaceful. And yet I still find myself sometimes not remembering that in a way, not remembering how good prayer makes me feel. And I get busy, or, you know, I know in the mornings, you know, getting up and getting ready and getting to work, like it's in that fast pace, and I don't take the time to pray in a meaningful way like I should, which again doesn't make sense, because I know how much it helps me. I know how much better I feel. It's like I have a way of forgetting, and I need to take the time to recognize, you know, how much it helps you. You know how much better you feel. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting caught up in things, or Satan realizing how much that connection to God means to us, and that intimacy that we have when we can speak with God. And I'm sure that, you know, he knows breaking that and making us think we're too busy for it is a way to harm that connection and that relationship that we have. It is just so, again, I mentioned this morning, like I grew up in the church, and sometimes there are things that you just see your whole life and you know your whole life and you take them for granted. And prayer really is one of those things for me. Like to be able to talk to the all-powerful creator of everything, of the universe, it's really beyond comprehension. You know, we think about, we probably, if any of you have ever met like a celebrity or talked to someone who was well known, or even just gone and seen someone who was famous, like that sticks out in your mind, like you met a famous person, you know a notable person, or you saw, you know, a famous person at a sporting event or a concert or, you know, something like that, it stands out in your mind. And this is, I think it's probably the most famous person that I've ever spoken to was the guy who played Mr. Belding in Saved by the Bell, which, not that impressive, don't get me wrong. He was at a Clippers game, and, you know, I saw him in that show. I thought it was neat, but hardly impressive. But no matter who you would meet in this life, like, to really think about how much we should appreciate that the God of the universe will hear us anytime we want to speak to him. It's just incredible. And but one of the preachers at Fishing the Road, Clay Brown, probably a lot of you know him. One of the things I've heard him say several times, and we had a Bible class, it's been weeks ago now, and there's a few things that, you know, kind of sparked this lesson in my mind from that Bible class that we'll mention. But he often, I've heard him say more than once, I believe, that even when he prays, he'll sometimes pray like, help this prayer to feel real to us, is the way that he says it. And I really appreciate that, because sometimes, you know, I'll pray and I don't really fully make that connection that I'm talking to God. It doesn't feel as real as it could. And sometimes it feels more real than it does at other times. So I want to try to focus and make it feel that way that I'm talking to God all the time. And then sometimes, and this is a little embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm going to put it out there. Sometimes when I'm struggling with that, I'll do something that's, again, kind of weird. But I'll kind of just take a second and stop when I realize I'm just kind of talking and not really meaning it, not really feeling like it's real. And I'll just take a second and I'll just imagine like that sound that it makes when you call someone on the phone, you hear like, you hear that kind of ringing. And I'll just kind of imagine that in my mind for a couple seconds. And then I'll imagine God picking up. And I know that's silly. Believe me. I know it is. But I think we kind of condition ourselves when we hear that ringing. And then when it stops, we know someone's on the other end. Like, you know, they picked up. You're actually talking to someone. And that's just a silly way for me to kind of stop and say, like, wait a second. You are talking to someone. This isn't self-talk. This isn't just something you're saying in your mind is like a feel-good thing. And it's, even if you were somebody who didn't believe in God, I think there sometimes is like some benefit to, you know, thoughtfulness and just stopping. Even if somebody didn't believe in God, they were an atheist, just taking time to stop and meditate. There is a benefit to that, but that's not what we're doing when we're praying. It is so much more than that. It's not meaningful self-talk, but it truly is us having the attention of God, of our Creator. Not only having his attention, but it's something that's meaningful to him as well. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 3, dealing with Cornelius, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of the Lord come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Here was Cornelius, and it says his prayers, what he was praying, was like ascending, and it was a memorial to him before God. And it makes me stop and think, like, what are my prayers like? Or is the way that I'm praying ascending to God as a memorial? Think about how important communication is with a relationship. Anyone that you know, anyone in your family, we all understand how important being able to communicate is to having that closeness. You wouldn't have a very good relationship with anyone if you only spoke to them when you needed something, and you only spoke to them when you wanted something, or or you only came to them when you were in trouble. Even if they're an understanding and loving person, it's not going to be the type of relationship that it could be. We want God to know that we love Him, and we want to know Him. We want to communicate with Him. In Psalm 141 and in Revelation, there's a couple places our prayers are compared to incense. That's such a cool imagery of, when they burned incense and it would rise up to the Lord. And that's what our prayers are compared to, something sweet-smelling that rises up to God. So not only is it just incredible that we can talk to God Himself, but it's amazing that God wants us to, and He appreciates it, and He that things that we say are meaningful to Him. It's just such a blessing. And God, as a loving Father, understands what we mean, even when we quite don't know how to say it. And those are, it's a great relationship that you have with someone. When you can say things and maybe it doesn't come out right. Maybe you don't even know how to put your thoughts into the words that they need to be. But the person knows you and loves you, and they kind of understand what you mean anyway. And that's, of course, the way it is with God. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, knows what is of the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So God is willing to hear us and to understand us from our hearts, and the Spirit will intercede for us and communicate in ways that we may not be able to. And even beyond that, God is willing to respond our prayers. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? We only have to ask for God to give us good things. And we think of ourselves, we just finished a holiday season where we probably gave some gifts. And, it's just such a clear illustration. Like, we know how to give good things to the people we love. Like, we don't, well, I was going to say we don't fail in that. I've failed in that. I've given some gifts that didn't hit the way that I hoped they would. But this illustration, like, if someone needs bread, we don't give them a stone. We understand how to give good things to people, to give loving things to people. And far beyond that, of course, God understands what we need. All we have to do is ask. And He will give us the good things that we ask for. He really kind of puts it into perspective. And again, even pushing it even further, even in addition to that, even if we don't really know what we should ask for, God will help us in that way. And there's a passage in James chapter 1, verse 5, beginning in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which I do a lot of the time. I can relate to this passage. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Even if we don't have the wisdom to ask God for the things that we should, He tells us we can pray for that wisdom and we'll receive it generously, without reproach. But we have to do so believing. We have to do so with faith. And I don't, I won't pretend to know exactly how that works, like, you know, how God answers us for wisdom, how he can guide us, how he can help us in that way. It's not something I can sit here and perfectly explain that when you pray for wisdom, this is what God does to grant it to you. But I know that he said he will. And I believe that he will. Our prayers have to be made with a strong faith. In this passage, if we ask and we're doubting, you know, we're not sure that God is able to do that for us. Well, it says that we're like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And we can't expect God to answer us if we're praying with doubt, if we're praying in weakness. And, you know, it's just like that relationship that you have with trust, you know, when you trust someone. To trust someone is to believe them in what they say. And surely we can trust God. And we know if he tells us that he will answer our prayers, he tells us that he will give us that wisdom that we need, then we can believe it. Sometimes at school, I teach fourth grade. So they're, you know, 9, 10 years old. And sometimes I'll tell them that they're communicating in a way that they don't realize. And what I mean, like the example that I'll give is, like sometimes when, you know, the teacher's talking or one of their classmates is talking, they'll be having a side conversation or talking or goofing off. And I'll tell them, like, I don't call them out personally, but I'll say to the group, like, you know, none of you would go up to someone, one of your classmates or to me, and say, I don't care about what you're saying. You wouldn't come up to them and say, what you're saying isn't important and you're not important and your words don't matter. They wouldn't say that. They're good kids. Like they're not rude like that. They would never try to do that to someone. But I tell them if you're talking when it's, you know, their turn to talk, that's kind of what you're telling them. That's what you're communicating to them, even if you don't realize it. The way that you, sometimes our actions say a lot about the way that we feel. And they sometimes communicate things that we would never want to say. And, you know, I kind of take that with this passage that we read about praying to God but not really believing in it. I mean, what is that communicating to God? That we don't believe he is able to answer our prayers, that we don't think he was telling the truth when he said that he will answer our prayers. We wouldn't say that to God. I think we just have to be careful that we don't kind of communicate that by praying in a way that is doubting, in a way that's not firm in our belief. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It really is an issue of our trust in God. We know that sometimes I shouldn't say that, but I know myself sometimes, as I said, those prayers are not real enough for me. And that's when I need to stop and reflect and to truly, you know, ingrain that in my brain, that whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. What an amazing promise from God. It's just so incredible. And this might go unsaid many times, but I think we also have to remember that our prayers have to be in the right spirit, not only believing. And that leads us to the passage that was read earlier in James 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So there's things that are, you know, he kind of starts at some severe sins, you know, murder, stealing, you know, things that we think, wow, that's really rough. He said, you're led into these things because you don't have, And the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. That's a powerful message. And then he says, even when you do ask, you ask amiss. You're asking selfishly. And that's kind of the point that I wanted to get to. I don't think we ask, we sit there and think, I'm going to ask something selfish in prayer. But I think we do need to be mindful of our prayers that we're not asking things selfishly. God wants us to pray for good things. We see examples of even Jesus praying for things that were his desire. Like in the garden, he made a prayer of what he wanted, but he submitted to God's will. He says, not my will, but yours be done. If it can't be the way that I desire, I accept whatever your will is. But he still prayed for something that was good. And I think we should pray for things that are good. I think that's what we're supposed to do. But we need to make sure, number one, that our intentions are pure, that it's not something good for selfish reasons. And then secondly, that we always, of course, submit to what God's will will be. If I run out of gas on the side of the road, which, again, embarrassingly, it's come close. That's something I'm not as always responsible about as I should be. But if I was to do that, and I was to pray for help, I don't think that God would fill up my gas tank. But I do believe he could answer my prayer and help me if that's his will. There's a joke that you maybe have heard before. So bear with me if you have heard it before. But there was a man, there was some flooding, and he became stuck on his roof, and there was, he couldn't get off. There was just water everywhere else. So he prayed for God, to help him. And a person in a rowboat came by. And the person said, jump, get in a rowboat. And the man said, nope, I've prayed to God. God is going to deliver me from this. So the rowboat left. A motorboat came by and said, come on, get in. The man said, no, I've prayed. God is going to deliver me from this. So the motorboat left. A helicopter came by, lowered a rope, come on up. He said, no, I pray for God to deliver me from this, and God is going to deliver me. So the helicopter left. Well, eventually, the man perished. And when he got to heaven, he asked God, I prayed for you to help me. Why didn't you answer my prayer? And, of course, he said, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you want? And, obviously, it's just a joke. But I think we can kind of see that in there, that God answers prayers in maybe ways that we don't always expect, that we don't always anticipate. And I don't always, again, of course, proclaim to understand how prayers are always answered. And at this point, just to be open with you, I had a story that was an answered prayer of mine that was, in a positive way. And then I was like, I don't know if I should, tell a story like that. In a weird way, it almost feels like boasting, even though, of course, it wasn't me. But then as I was sitting there earlier, kind of going back and forth about, to tell the story or not, I kind of realized, I could tell you a story about how things work out perfectly beyond what I could have asked for. But I could also tell you stories about prayers that were not answered the way that I wanted them to be. And I'm just as thankful. And I wouldn't be where I'm at right now, and I wouldn't have the life that I have right now if my prayers had been answered the way that I wanted them to be. And that, it just kind of hit me the stories that we could tell about prayers being answered in certain ways, it doesn't prove that God heard your prayer because it was answered the way that you wanted it to. It's it doesn't prove it if it wasn't answered the way that it wanted. We know that God answers our prayers. And there's a passage, well, I'll get to that one in a second, but I want to mention this first because we have an example of this very thing in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this that it should leave me. This is Paul writing or communicating. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I talked to my dad about this one time, he said, you know, because I said, you know, God answers our prayers in these amazing ways, and when we pray for this, and it happens so amazingly. And he then said, like, well, you also have to remember that the person you're speaking with may have had a prayer that was answered in a different way. And that always, you know, struck with me to just step back and think, God does better for us than we could ever do for ourselves. And that doesn't mean that we don't pray for good things again, because I believe that God hears our prayers and answers them and listens, and it's meaningful to him. But there's a quote by a man named Wayne Jackson, who has a website that sometimes I'll read articles about, and I thought it was just a really great answer to that. That if our prayers are ever answered in ways that we didn't anticipate or didn't expect or maybe wasn't the way that we wanted, he said, the Lord answers prayer according to our eternal needs, not necessarily according to our immediate or temporal wants. And I think that's echoing a spirit that we see in Romans 8:28. If there's anything to take from this lesson, I think it's this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. If we're praying as we should, God will answer our prayers for what is best. For what is best for our eternal needs, and everything will work together for good. And I can tell you, again, I could give you a story of God answering your prayer in just such an amazing way. It was what I wanted. And I could give you God answering prayers in such amazing ways that was the exact opposite of what I was praying for. God is so great and so good in our lives. And the final thing that I'll say tonight is, and I'm saying this to myself as well, try to keep that in mind throughout your life and throughout your prayers. Because when you're going through something that's difficult, try to think back to those times where prayer was answered differently than you wanted, and you realized later that it was what was best, that it worked together for good. Even though in the moment you may not be able to see it, try to remind yourself of this passage, that all things work together for good. We spoke earlier about the importance of trusting God when we pray to him. And I think we also need to trust God when we listen to him, when he works in our lives as he answers our prayers. So we are just so blessed to be children of God and to have that ability to pray. And I want us to be thankful for it and to take advantage of it and to not take it for granted in our lives. Just what a blessing it is. So tonight, if you need the prayers of the church, if you want to take him on in baptism and make him and take him on as Savior, we have that opportunity tonight. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.